There is a message that I have heard a number of times by B.R. Lincoln that where he talks a little bit about John the Baptist. And ever since I heard him speak that for the first time, it very much intrigued me and has been on my heart for a long time. And so it just came to my mind this morning, and I decided maybe I would try to speak on it. So we'll look at tonight, Blessed Are the Unoffended. Let's pray. Father, I want to ask for a blessing now. I want to ask that you would bless us all with the knowledge of yourself and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and of your ways and will for our lives, and help us to trust you no matter what happens to us in life. I pray that you would help me to speak only things that are true tonight. Amen. All right, we'll begin in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 2 says, Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. All right, we'll stop reading there. John the Baptist is prophesied about in the Old Testament. He was foretold that he was going to exist, and he knew it. And he had read those prophecies about himself, or had heard them read. Because in John, it tells us that and the people asked him who he was. He quoted the scripture to them to give them an answer. Let's turn there and read that. It's in John chapter 3. And we'll actually read a lengthy passage here also, because there's some more information that we want to catch about John. So in John chapter 3, verse 22, After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Arnon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I did not write down all the information that I needed here. And now I forget. I think it's in chapter 1. Yes, in chapter 1, the people, it says in verse 19 of chapter 1, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." All right, that was the quote that I was looking for, that John quoted from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah prophesied about this man, and John knew that he was that man that was written in the prophecy. And this is what he said about himself. "I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not a prophet. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." This is important that we understand the fact that John knew who he was in order to understand some other things about some things that he most definitely would have known. So we have in Matthew a very unfortunate situation where John hit undoubtedly the lowest point that he ever had in his life, where for at least one day he sat in the prison so discouraged and so dejected and so unable to understand what was going on around him, that he took two of his disciples and he sent them to Christ to ask them if he was the one they were looking for. Now, we can all condemn John for that if we want to. But if there's a single person in this room that is honest, you know that you have questioned God the same way in your life. You know you have. So let's not be hard on John at the moment because he did this. But it was a very low point in his life. He was discouraged to death. I mean, you know what? It may not have only been the fact that he was in prison, but I'll bet you anything it was a cloudy day too. And maybe he didn't get fed that day. There's a lot of things that could have been happening. But John had read the passage about himself, and you get the idea that John had fully understood the passage about himself from what he says that we read in chapter 3 here of the Gospel of John. Because the Jews come to John and start complaining about the fact that Jesus is baptizing, and they think they are telling John a juicy piece of news that he didn't know and would be quite upset about, because all of a sudden this new guy who John had honored and told them this is the person we're looking for, all of a sudden now he's baptizing and everybody's coming to him. And John says, no, wait, no big deal. He said, "You know, a man can't receive anything unless it's given to him from heaven." And he says, "I'm his friend. See, this is the bridegroom. The bridegroom is the person who's got the bride. But the friend of the bridegroom rejoices greatly. And after he gets through this little spiel, he says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, there was a time that John was sent to run before Christ to prepare the way. You know what that means? If you're preparing the way, what does that mean? Somebody's following after you. If you are going ahead of somebody, preparing a way for them, that makes you a servant. That means when the Lord comes behind you, you aren't going to be important anymore, right? Hey, John understood that. He said, all I was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. But now he's here. Now he is the important one. I'm not. All I was a voice. And as he increases, I'm going to decrease. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and see what John would have found out about himself when he read the passage. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity." All right, here's what John read. He was the voice. He was the voice come to cry out of the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But the voice asked, what am I supposed to cry? And this was the message that was given to him. All flesh is grass. We read that as we go through this entire chapter. All flesh is grass. I've spoken on this passage before, and I don't need to go over all this in great detail again tonight. But some of you guys may have come in your Christian life, or before you were saved, to an understanding of the fact that you were the chief of sinners. You might have come to an understanding of the fact that you were a worm. You might have come to the understanding of the fact that you were dirty and filthy and had nothing of any value. But you know, in this passage, God gets just as low down as he can possibly get in his description of a human being when he says, that all nations, verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. You guys have probably all experienced at one time or another in your life where your checkbook read zero, or so close to zero that there was no money to use out of it. Because, you know, you can't write a check for $1.50. You've experienced what it means to see the money that you own in life reach rock bottom so that there's nothing there. But it is a completely different story when you cross the mark from zero to less than zero. Then is when you are in serious trouble. Because when your checkbook gets down to reading zero and you have no money in your pocket, if you don't really have to worry about anything but possibly finding some free food somewhere, you're okay. But if you've got a bill that's due, what are you supposed to do? You know, God does not look at humanity and say they're worthless. He looks at humanity and says they are a problem. They're not just nothing. They are in the minus. We have got a serious problem on our hands with humanity. We have got a filthy world. We have got a wicked people. It is a liability to have these people on this earth. John read all this. And it undoubtedly entirely shaped his life and ministry. And you notice this if you read the scriptures. Read his story. The humility that John expressed over and over again was just incredible. You know, if John knew this about himself, it is absolutely no wonder that he said to Christ, or said to the people rather, about Christ, "There's somebody coming after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose." If you are a humble person, you might consider yourself worthy to be a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, "No, I am not worthy to be his servant. I am not worthy to deal with his shoes. I am not worthy to take his shoes off and wash his feet." That was his attitude. I am not good enough even for that. That was humility. You rarely ever meet a human being that enters that state of humility about themselves. You rarely meet that. But John did not think that there was anything wrong with the fact that when Jesus came on the scene, everybody was going to flock to Christ and ignore John. He didn't care about that. That was who he was. He was only a preparer of the way. And when the Lord came, he was nothing. But you know, I have something else to tell you. This isn't the only thing John read. There was other stuff that he found out when he read this book. And I have no doubt in my mind that it was some of the other things that he read that confused him in the prison. I have no doubt. In Matthew, chapter 11. Listen to what Jesus told the people to go back and tell John to answer his question. John had sent to say, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Jesus did not send back the message, "I am he." Okay, he sent back the message. This is what he said. "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Why did Jesus tell these two disciples of John to go back to him and tell him these things? Because it was an answer. It was an answer. It was most definitely an answer to John's question. Because if we go back to Isaiah and look at some of the other things that John had read, let's try Isaiah chapter 35 for an example. Verse 3 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness waters shall break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall grass and shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man. Though fools shall not err therein, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." John had read this. He had seen the fact that the blind eyes should be opened, the ears of the deaf should be unstopped, the lame man should leap, etc., etc. And he read about this highway. Wasn't that what he was supposed to be preparing, was that highway? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Was that what he was supposed to be preparing? Was this the Christ that was prophesied in this passage? Was he the one who was running before this Christ to bring these things about? He knew that this was about Christ, no doubt about it. He knew it. And he saw the fact that these things were such and such things were supposed to happen when Christ came. Let's take another one. Chapter 42. Verse 1. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Are we reading a prophecy about Christ here? John had read this. And you know, the Bible said something very interesting here. In all the things that Jesus was going to do, one of the things that he was going to do was he was going to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Let's try Isaiah chapter 61. We'll read just one verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Okay, I want you guys to go back now. You're John for a minute. Just 1 minute, you're John. You're sitting in the prison. You've read Isaiah. You probably cried. You probably bawled. You probably screamed. You probably jumped for joy. You probably could not contain your emotions over and over and over again for the years growing up in the desert, waiting for the time to come to get started on the work that was about to happen, because it was going to be the most glorious work that earth had ever seen. This is what John is thinking. But it didn't turn out that way. Now, the fact of the matter is, we can blame John if we want to for the fact that he didn't fully understand what he found. We can blame him if he want to that he didn't understand the prophecies fitting into the things that were going to concern Christ when he came this time and the next time. You know, the fact of the matter was, all the Jews believed that Elijah was coming back. They were told so. It was the last prophecy they were given from anything that was recorded in Scripture. In Malachi chapter 4, the very end of the Old Testament, it is written, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." John knew this. The Jews came to him. We read about it in the first chapter of John. The Jews came to him and said, "Are you Elijah?" And he said, "No." Now, John could have figured out, if he had thought a little bit clearly, that there were prophecies concerning Christ that were not about to be fulfilled, because things that God said had to happen before Christ came hadn't happened. Elijah wasn't there, and John knew he wasn't Elijah. Enough. We can blame John all we want to for things that he didn't know. But at the end of the day, he probably knew more than the average person sitting in this room. We're not going to blame John tonight. There came a moment in John's life that he had a spiritual low that every single person in this room either has had, is having, or is going to have in your life. There's going to be a time in your life when the very book that you have invested your entire life into, the thing that you believe, the promises that you have claimed, where you have cried before God and begged for an answer to the thing that you believed He has promised you, is going to fail you. And this is where John was right now. He's in prison. And the Bible said that Jesus was opening the doors of the prison, and John was in prison. And the Bible said Jesus was opening the doors of the prison, and John was in prison. And he was there the next day, and he was there the next day. You know what? I personally do not think that John was really worried so much about whether Jesus was the Christ or not, as he really wanted an answer to his question about why he was in prison. That's not what he asked, and I have to assume that that's what he was thinking, but I don't personally think that John was actually doubting that this was the Christ. I think what he really wondered was, why did I read that Jesus was opening the doors of the prison and I am in prison? And I am the very person who was sent to prepare the way before him. And something isn't right here. Something doesn't make sense. It seems like a promise that God wrote about isn't being fulfilled. And you know, Jesus didn't do anything for John. Here in this passage, what Jesus told the disciples to go back and tell John, didn't give him an answer. I wonder if any of you guys are seeing yourself right now, where you've been in a situation in your life where you felt like your life was falling apart and you were begging God for help and you just couldn't get an answer. You didn't know what was wrong. You couldn't see why you were crying so much and why the things that it seemed like God had promised to give you weren't coming. And you've asked God for the answer and he didn't say anything to you. This is what Jesus said. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And you know, when the disciples of John came back to John in the prison and told him what Jesus said, I have no doubt in my mind that John's stomach was turning somersaults. And his heart could hardly handle hearing the words that came from the mouths of the disciples. And he was waiting for them to say something about the prison. John knew this stuff was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. He knew Jesus was doing these works. But what about the prison? He was in prison. Was Jesus going to do anything for him? Now, there were some things that John obviously did not know about Christ. There were some things John didn't know about himself. The one thing John didn't know about himself was that in not too long, the king was going to send in a person into his jail cell that was going to cut his head off and let his blood run all over the floor to satisfy the wickedness of a wicked woman. John didn't know that was going to happen. But do you know what else John didn't know? John didn't know that it was going to happen to the Lord himself. It was a simple misunderstanding where he did not fully grasp the promises that were written in the Old Testament. He did not fully understand them. He did not fully grasp the fact that Jesus was coming to earth to die on a cross. And that some of the things that were written, the glorious things that were written, weren't going to happen for another 2,000 years. He didn't know that. But sitting in the prison, he thought that the Jesus, the Christ, the person that was coming, he thought he was coming to be a king. And it confused him. It confused him so badly that he sent his disciples to ask, "Art thou he that should come?" Now I want to tell you what you're supposed to do when you're in that situation in life. You're supposed to read this verse, verse 6 of chapter 11. "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." That's your verse. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you right now. You are going to live the shallowest Christian life that a person could ever live if this will never happen to you. That you do not look in the scriptures and find something that you think God is going to do for you that He just doesn't do. At least for a time. When I was a young Christian, I was about 15 years old. I believed that I was going to have the most faith of anybody who ever had lived. I'm serious now. Don't laugh, okay? I'm serious. I believed that. I was the proudest person on the face of the earth. You couldn't have gotten prouder than me if you had tried. And I thought, because my dad was such a good guy, and he so believed the scriptures, but he just had a couple little things that even he didn't believe the scriptures like I believed them. I thought I had the most faith of anybody who had ever lived. And I believed that I could get anything I wanted if I asked God for it, because the Bible said so. So I asked for something that I wanted. I didn't get it. Now the fact of the matter is, God never promised anything to the proud except humiliation and resistance. Okay, God did not promise anything to you if you're proud. He promised salvation if you'd repent. But I prayed for a whole afternoon about this specific thing that I wanted to be able to do. And the time came and passed. And I didn't get to do it. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know how to feel about the fact that my prayer wasn't answered. But I have other prayers in life since that time that haven't been answered either. I've prayed some prayers that I still think are going to be answered, but they haven't been answered yet. But you know what? I want to tell you one thing that I do know. If I die and that prayer, those prayers that I have prayed are not answered, I'm not going to be offended at God. Because the one thing that I have learned in my Christian life is, in spite of the fact that we don't always understand things, I know I can trust God. John didn't understand. He didn't know why he was in prison. It appeared as he watched the life of Christ unfold that this had to be the Messiah. He had been told. The same person who sent him to baptize with water told him that on whoever you see the Spirit descending and abiding on him, this is the man. John saw it. He saw the Spirit come down in the form of a dove and rest on the head of Christ. He saw it. And now, sitting in prison, he's doubting. I'll tell you something else. There's one of the most amazing things in the entire scriptures about Christ. You know what John did here was really wrong? It was really wrong to doubt whether Jesus was the Messiah, whether he was the Son of God, was really wrong. It was the lowest thing he had ever done in his life, undoubtedly. And the doubt that John had was towards Jesus Christ. And Jesus, at the very time that this happened, that the disciples come from John to ask this crazy question, "Are you the Christ? Are you the one that's coming?" Jesus immediately turns around to the people and butters up John like nobody has ever said about any other person ever before on earth. Listen to what he says. What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Jesus, why are you talking this way about John right now? I mean, it looks to all, for all practical purposes right now, like John is that reed shaken with the wind. He's doubting the very fact that Jesus is the Son of God. He's doubting that this is the Christ. And Jesus said, did you guys go out in the desert to see a reed shaken with the wind? No, you didn't. Did you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Did you go out to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That was the most amazing thing that Jesus did towards a human being, I think. The most amazing thing that he did. You know, if he had been like us, he would have gotten mad. He would have shredded John's character just a little bit. He would have gossiped about him to his disciples. You know, I feel kind of hurt. This guy that is supposed to be my forerunner, he's the one that's supposed to prepare the way before me. He's the one, he has so much put in his lap. He has so much responsibility, and he was given so much, and look at how he treats me. And Jesus didn't say any such a thing. He turned around and honored him like he had never honored another human being before. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That was amazing. Now John, he's sitting in prison. He didn't get an answer to his question. He doesn't know why he's in prison. He never did know. He dies there. But he has this one statement from Christ to live by. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is that man. You know, there was a time in my life I'll tell the story just exactly how it was. If any of you haven't heard all of it already. There was a time in my life when I had two beautiful little girls. And it was getting to be time that the likelihood of another kid would be coming along. And me and Nikki talked about it. And we said, life is too stressful right now. We're working way too hard. And we are way too short on money. There's way too many problems to deal with right now to think about having another baby at this year. And we said, let's try and wait one more year and space the next baby one more year. I don't know if it was a month or 2 months later than that. That we had another baby coming. Now we didn't try to do anything. We didn't try to have that baby. But God gave it. And it just happened that it turned out to be Jamel. Nikki had some trouble in that pregnancy. We couldn't fully understand it. Nobody could give us any answers. But it just felt like things weren't quite right. And Then it came time to the birth, and Nikki had some serious issues with both Crystal and Christina, where she had bled very heavily and almost had to go to the hospital. So we were praying. We were worried a little bit, and we were praying because she had had two bad experiences, and we were a little bit on edge about it, and so we were praying for her. We were praying that everything would go fine, that she wouldn't bleed. And she didn't. God answered that prayer. But he did something else to us that was almost worse. He sent us a little boy who was absolutely and completely handicapped. Now you know, remember, we said we need to wait one more year because we can't handle a baby right now. Well, we basically got four of them in one. Because he couldn't do anything. He needed so much care. He was in intensive care for 3 weeks. And he ran up a bill of $300,000. We don't even know what it was. $250,000. We couldn't have a baby because we didn't have enough time and we didn't have enough money. And God reached down and he handed us just exactly what he wanted us to have. I think if he had given me a Bible personally, he would have probably highlighted the verse for me. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. I'm not offended, God. You can do whatever you want. Every single person that is sitting in this room is going to face experiences in your life where you're going to wonder why God did what he did. You know, the fact of the matter is, God is the one who created Jamel. And he had every ability that exists in anywhere to make him a healthy baby. He had every ability to do that, but he didn't. He didn't do it. Why didn't he? You know, me and Nikki still don't know that, and we probably never will until we die and stand face to face with Christ. I'm going to ask the question, what was it that made you do this? And he's probably going to say, you were such a rat for thinking that I couldn't take care of you. I wanted to prove to you that I could. It's probably what he's going to say. You know, the store had been so poor in sales. Not in sales so much, but in profit. We struggled to pay every bill. We don't know how much Jamel cost when he was in the hospital, but we know it was over $200,000. But because we have such a wonderful government in this country, we didn't have to pay for most of it. But we still had to pay a deductible that was $13,000. And it just so happened that, in general, if we wanted to spend $500 or $1,000 on something for the store, we usually couldn't because we didn't have it. But when the bill came for Jamel for $13,000, we paid it. Well, you know, I don't have to ask where the money came from, but God knew the bill was coming, and it just so happened we had money. Now, I resented paying that bill. Tell the honest truth, I resented it because I needed that $13,000 for other stuff. But, you know, you got to pay your bills. And And God just said, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in the bills I give you. I'm still waiting for money to do some of the things that I would like to do. And God still hasn't given me everything that I want. But I'm not offended. Because the one thing that I know for certain, even if I misunderstand what he's promised, even if I misunderstand what he wants, even if I prayed and thought he was going to answer and I didn't think he did, the one thing that I know for certain is he's running on schedule. And he's accomplishing just exactly what he wants done. And in the end, I'm going to agree with him. I'm going to see what he did. I'm going to thank him for what he did. I'm going to thank him for what he didn't do. The worst thing that you can do in your life is to complain at God because of something he has given to you. Get bitter at him. Get grumpy. The things that so many Christians do at God because things didn't go well in their lives. You know what God wants you to do when you end up in prison? Praise the Lord for his goodness. We want you to do. I know of a number of situations right now in life where people are struggling with things in their lives. Some people out of this church, they're struggling with things in their lives that are absolute monsters. Things that people are facing, they have to deal with. I know personally that some of them are smiling and praising the Lord. And I know some of them are frowning and feeling sorry for themselves. But you know what will happen to you? If you get the wrong attitude for what God does to you in your life, your ministry's over, if you ever had one. And the effectiveness, the very effectiveness of the thing that God sent in your life is going to be hindered by your attitude. I think there's people that are sitting in this room right now that are probably going through things in their lives. They're very depressing. I am one. I'm going through one right now. Winter's almost here. I can hardly take it. But you know, that's an easy one to understand. It just comes every year. But some of you guys are probably going through some things right now that you don't understand. And you wonder why. Why has God not done a better job in providing for me? Why has he let such and such a thing happen in my life? Why? If I'm such a pretty and sweet girl, why hasn't God given me a husband? And you know, there may not be a single soul on the face of the earth that can answer your questions for you. But the one thing that I can tell you for certain, blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus has got things covered. You can trust him. It was the thing that kept Job going when everything went wrong for him. And you know, Job looked at everything that went wrong in his life. And he said the words that we have quoted so many thousands of times, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When Job said that, we read that, and oftentimes I think we fail to understand the significance of those words. Because Job didn't say, if I die, I'm still going to trust him. He said, though God kills me, I'm still going to trust him. You know, if somebody was mean or rude to you or worked in against you, but claimed to be a friend, and you sort of doubted their friendship and sort of didn't, but you had mixed feelings about it, but you saw that person come up to you trying to kill you, every bit of respect for that person would be gone. Every bit of trust would be over. You would now know for a certainty that that person was your bitter enemy. Job didn't know that. He said, if God came and killed me, I'd still trust him. Let's close with prayer. Father, help us all to love you with all of our hearts. Help us to trust you. Help us to praise you all the time. Pray that you would make our lives effective for you. Help us to walk with you and show forth your glory and your praise to everybody that we meet. I do also pray that you would answer the prayers of your people. Bring understanding and healing to anybody who needs it. But Father, when we are in times that we don't have it, I pray that you would help us to trust anyway. Pray that you would bless all your people now. Amen.